You know, the more I study this, the more I look into the Word, it's almost like an incredible magical land that just keeps opening up and opening up. And when you begin asking the right questions, and in my mind, the right question is, Father, what is this telling me about You? That just continues to open up. And it is the same this time. I'd like to share with you something. And first of all, I'd like to lay a foundation for it. We've been talking about emotions. I want to make sure we're all on the same page about what that is. Right now, I'm feeling claustrophobic. It's amazing. Thank you so much for coming here. And by the way, thank you for the date night, what you folks are doing. Roger, thank you so much for what you're doing on Friday night. And it's just amazing what the Lord does. One of the things that I discovered when I was over in Longview and Tyler as their pastor, I just took some understanding about what the pastor's job is, and that's getting close to the people and revealing to them what the Father is like. And we got there, and there were two churches. We left, and there were five churches. And I can't take credit for any of it. Two of them sprung up, and I didn't even know they existed. Two of the members went out and began sharing this, and to see what happens when you hear this message about what God is like and what He's trying to get across to people. A fire starts within, and you find yourself wanting to say this and to get out and do this, and to see the ministries that begin developing, all of them with a focus on what the Father is like. And I'd like to share with you just a little bit about my concept of the emotions. God created them. He put those in me. He gave me the full range of being able to express emotions. And when you look at emotions, you take the E off of emotions and you have what? Motion. And that's exactly what they were designed to do, was to move you toward or move you away from. And God is the one that put those in there. And they happen so quickly that within 25 thousandths of a second, that emotion in full bloom is there. And you're responding. And it's amazing how the Father has designed this body to where everything about me is taking in all of this information that's coming around me, that's being generated inside me. And the way that He caused that to flow up my body, up into my brain, and first of all, through a little area called the amygdala as a safety valve, so that if anything is there and it's a threat, I'm responding before I can even think about it. And then if there is no threat, it goes on up into the upper part of the brain, and God designed that brain to go back and forth like this to service and to contemplate that message. And then, once it is decided what to do, the result of that all flows back out. Now, that was God's ideal. And so many times, life has created in us the inability to respond or to receive all of that. And the beautiful thing about this, He says, when you know Me, the way it is that I've designed to help you to understand, it says that you are going to find and be able to express love, find love for yourself, respect for yourself, and give that same love and respect to another person. Well, now we know that when I'm able to be in touch with that and I process it in a healthy way and I communicate that, my brain grows, develops, gets more and more efficient. And when that goes into another person's brain and they process it and they interact and share back, their brain grows. And when there is that healthy exchange, we find that we are growing together. And my brain begins developing more and more empathy, sympathy, and love. Incredible what the Father designed. Now, we are not our emotions. Did you get that? We are not our emotions. When they come up, they're there for a reason. And if somehow I have been blocked, many times I will respond as if that emotion is me. You hear people say, boy, that sure is an angry person. That sure is a jealous person. Sometimes we find out, if we don't understand what those emotions are, they so possess us that we actually become that emotion. God never intended that. Now, the way that emotion works, it comes up in my body, comes up in here, and begins processing. Well, what is it doing when it's processing? It's running through my belief system. As that belief system then responds, it comes back out according to my belief system. When the Heavenly Father is the center of that belief system, when love for another brother is the center of that belief system, that doesn't mean I'm never going to get angry. It doesn't mean I'll ever get sad. What do I do with it? The Father gives me that ability to know how to respond to that. And I have options. Now, we're going to deal with the emotion called jealousy. I learned something I never knew. I want you to turn to Exodus. Well, let's turn to Exodus 20, first of all. Exodus 20. And let's look at verse 5. When you look at the scripture, or look at the idea of jealousy, on the surface, it could be bad. But look what God says. Exodus 20 and verse 5. Let's go to 4. You shall not make for yourself an idol, or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a what?
Jealous.
Holy mackerel. I am a jealous God.
Good.
Then one of the shocks, as much as I've been studying about the names of God, I want to introduce to you a new name. Exodus 34. Never saw this. I don't know how many times I've read it. Exodus 34. And verse 13. But rather you are to tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and cut down their asherim. For you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is... Whoa, wait a minute here. For the Lord, whose name is jealous. I'm a jealous God. Now, how does that impact you? When you learn that God says, my name is jealous. Well, I thought Yahweh and Elohim and El Shaddai and all through all of those names, here one popped up that I didn't know anything about. And as I was studying this lesson, and that came up, I was blown away. What do I do with that? Well, when we look at jealousy on the surface, doesn't it sound like a negative thing to be jealous? So I may get into a situation that causes this emotion of jealousy to come up. Goes up the way all other emotions do and comes up here in my brain and begins processing. Now, one thing you have to know about your father, he ain't going to hold back any emotion. He expresses everything he feels. He holds no secrets. Now, if God came and was here in all His glory, you wouldn't be able to approach Him. And if He did come, and if He was here, what would you know about Him? Well, it takes that relationship with someone, conversing with them, getting to know them, that you understand their character. So just seeing a person's presence means nothing. And we're told that when the children of Israel saw and heard God on the mountain, the text says very carefully, according to the eyes of the Israelites, this was a consuming fire. Now it says that very plainly. And yet Moses walked right into His presence. What they reported and what they saw was that it was a horrendous fire. But Moses walked right into it. But what's that about? Moses, like Abraham, is called a friend of God. So that glory that God defined on the mountain and passed His glory before Moses, Moses fell on his knees. His strength went out of him. And he worshipped Him. The same glory that overwhelmed one and he dropped in absolutely overwhelmed, caused someone else to tremble and to see it as a consuming fire. Well, what is that about? And God says, when you want to know Me, I have revealed My entire mind. He said, and if there is any question, watch Jesus. Watch Him. And you will see the mind of God. He doesn't have to be standing here. You can, through observation, through looking in nature, through looking at the Son of God, come to know what the Father is like. And for some, that knowledge is a consuming fire. For others, it's an invitation into the bosom of a friend. He said He is so gentle that even the little sparrows love to fly into His throne room and make their nests on the pillars and raise their young in His presence. This is amazing. If it was that dangerous, surely that delicate little bird's not going to be doing that. So here is God trying to portray Himself. as this God who is jealous. What is God jealous over? Jealousy usually comes from a heart or a personality that is weak. In a relationship, if you have very, very low self-esteem, and if someone else begins paying attention to your mate, what do? Get jealous. Well, that jealousy comes up through the body, processes through the mind, and the mind comes to a conclusion. If the person sees themselves as not valuable, how are they going to see this threat? One with a good self-image is going to look at that and say, "Buddy, I don't blame you. She's beautiful. That's why I'm with her. I couldn't help keep my eyes off of her too." One who has very low self-esteem, a sense of weakness, will look at that as a threat.
Like Leo.
And then respond appropriately with anger, with control, with all kinds of things. Now, I want you to catch a concept. I brought my box here. I'm glad you didn't have it thrown out. I want you to look at this box. Now look what's on this box. Envy, low self-esteem, fear. All of this is on this box, representing emotions. Now folks, this box is representative of emotions that are out of control. Now, I don't know if I can do this or not, but I'll try. Catch me. Okay, give me a hand. Seriously. A box can be secure. It can give you support. It can give you protection.
Once you're in it.
Pardon?
Once you're in it.
When you're in it, yeah. Now these are all emotions, and someone else come up and see me all closed up like that and they say, "What's wrong? I'm in a box." What box? I don't see a box. Oh, there's a box there, all right. If I feel afraid of another human being, fear is going to be one of those things that controls what I do. I'm not going to approach them, so I have this fear. That fear then became a box and shut me off from that human being. Now, what did we say? When you know God, as it is your privilege to know Him, you will come to have such a respect for yourself and honoring yourself. And then you will be able to reach out to other human beings. That's what God intended. But my fear, based on who knows what, set it up so now I have a barrier between them. Fences keep things in and keep things out. My fear boxes me in. God never intended that. And do you know what created this? What created this box? My belief system. Up comes a fear, goes through my belief system, and I produce this side of the box. Now I feel secure, but I'm shut off. God never intended that. So, what will get me out of the box? Pardon? Help me out. Help me out. Do something about this emotion. So freedom, watch out now. Try to do this. Oh, I did it. I thought about getting a larger box with smaller sides, but this is all I had. So, what gets me out here? Well, that will help, a relationship with God.
A change in your belief?
My belief system. My belief system created the box. My belief system set me out here. And what is that belief system based on? What I have accumulated up here from life, or what I have accumulated up here about my Heavenly Father. So here is God who says, my name is Jealous. We got to do one on that. My name is Jealous. I'm a jealous God. Is God weak? Absolutely not. In what context does he always use the word, I am jealous? Pardon?
Jealous for us, not jealous
of us. Okay. Anybody else?
Jealous for you and your safety and your relationship with him.
Okay. Anybody else?
Worship.
What?
Worship.
Okay.
Anything that threatens us or causes our demise.
Oh, boy. You've got some wonderful ideas. Anybody else?
Anything that we love more than we love him.
Okay. Every context, the name I am a jealous God, my name is Jealous, always has to do with someone appealing to and trying to draw his children away from him. And it's not that God's jealous of that God. There is nothing like this box. They created it. They fashioned it. They covered it with gold. And then they bowed down and worshipped it. What were they worshipping? And what were the attributes of those gods? What? Name some of them.
Emptiness.
Huh?
Emptiness.
Okay, what are some of the other characteristics of these gods that man created?
They were angry.
Angry, absolutely. What else?
Self-pleasure.
Okay, the most base things you can possibly imagine. You go on and on and on. Everything that is vile inside man came out in their concept of God.
Wow.
Was he loving? Was he forgiving? Was he kind? No. So they created this false God. God is jealous of what?
Of his own image. He wants his own image to be revealed, and they're giving a false impression. So he said, you're misrepresenting.
Oh, yeah. I think that's really, really important that people get a right concept of who he is, because to know him is what? That's eternal life. So he's very jealous about what people are saying about him. And remember, the last message the world will ever hear is the declaration of the character of God. That is it. So I create my box by my accumulation of life experiences, my own fears, things I've never dealt with. And God introduced himself as, I am a jealous God. I see these things in your life that are drawing you away and causing you to do the same thing as what happened in heaven. Did you realize something? The devil didn't need a devil to fall. There was no devil to tempt him. I sin when I follow my own lusts. There was no devil in heaven. He was called Lucifer. And when the Father realized that within the heart of Lucifer, an emotion was coming up. An emotion of envy. And developed into an emotion of jealousy that went up into his mind and went through his belief system. And God said, your heart was lifted up because of your own beauty. And you began listening to the praise of everyone that was coming to Jesus and to the Father. And you looked at yourself and you know that every place you went, people praised your presence. Why? Because of what he was saying about the Father. That's why they praised. But he took that to himself. What did the Father do? Grab him, say, you stupid thing, and throw him out? No, it says that the Father went to him and sat down with him and helped him to understand what was going on. And Lucifer said, oh, Father, how could I do this? And returned back to his position, displaying the wonderful character of God. We don't know what the time frame is, but we know that that same thing, jealousy, came up in his mind, ran through his belief system, and he had something in his belief system that said, this praise belongs equally to me. What did he do? You think the Father knew that was in there? By the way, do you think when he shaped and formed every one of those beings, that as he was fashioning Lucifer, that this was a surprise? Made him anyway. And put within him that total freedom to be himself. And the second time, we're told that Jesus went to him and sat down. They were the most wonderful friends. Sat down with him and shared with him what was going on. And again, he caught the insight of what he was doing and turned away from it and went out and praised more fully what God is like. Amazing. And we don't know the time frame. But once again, it came up in his mind. And this time, it wasn't that God the Father gave up. It wasn't that the Son gave up. His fellow angels pled with him. Where are you going with this? What are you doing? They didn't know death. They didn't know the end result of this. All they knew was he was separating himself from the Father, the source of life. The Father pled. The Son pled. They pled again, and all of the heavenly hosts pled. And he finally made his decision based on his belief system, which he had arrived at the conclusion that the Father can't be trusted. And there was no turning him back. We only know in part. We still don't know the full story of what happened. We just know it didn't take a devil to create the devil. We just know that as a result of his choice separated himself. So he stood out there. Now I want to share something with you about the commandments of God. When you have a loving relationship with your Heavenly Father, you have a belief system that sees the commandments in one way. When you have a belief system that says God looks at my behavior. God looks at my performance. God has control, and He's the only one out, only way out. Therefore, I will obey. I will follow. His belief system is not about a relationship with the Father. His belief system is how he performs, looking good. Now, I was shocked again this week when I looked at the last commandment. Thou shalt not covet. A person who has a relationship is going to see it in a totally different way than one who doesn't have a relationship. Do you realize that all the 9 previous commandments, you can see if a person is performing them or not? Are they stealing? Are they killing? Are they committing adultery? Are they making graven images? You can see all of those. And you can hear if a person's slandering their neighbor. But only the 10th commandment. And I wondered why Paul picked this one out. Of all the commandments, why did you pick this one out in Romans? To illustrate something. Now let me add another element, and then I want to take you to the 10th commandment and what I discovered in the 10th commandment. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. We understand that means several things. One of them is that he took the light of the glory of his heavenly Father, of the mind of God, of the heart of God, and brought it to the earth. Now, could I make a little break here real quick? Because what I want to say is something that you want to take home. So would everyone stand up real quick? Oh, that better. Sorry, it's so warm in here. Now will you turn around? You got to get your blood moving. Ross can't do it, so I'm going to kick him in the shins. Okay, stretch a little bit. Okay, somebody else go by here. They're going to say, you should see what Shepherd and Pyle are doing in there. All these people yelling. Okay, have a seat. Yeah. Somebody know how to sing it? Put your left foot in, your left foot out, your left foot in, and shake it all about. Okay. Okay, the 10th commandment. Here is something. This is not an illustration. It's because I'm hot. Thank you very much. The 10th commandment. When you say, thou shalt not covet. Do you know what that word really means? Thou shalt not be jealous. That's what the word is. And wait a minute. God started out by saying, I am a... And the 10th commandment says, thou shalt not be jealous. Wait a minute. The 10th commandment is the only one that shines the light on the inside of a human being. You never know when a person is seething inside with jealousy. You never know if a human being has envy. Look at Naboth. Had all he needed, but he looked over and saw his neighbor's vineyard. Envy, jealousy. You never knew it about David. He was surrounded with wealth, surrounded with concubines, everything he needed. And yet he looked across and he saw one that he didn't have. There are more illustrations in the Bible on jealousy and coveting than any other commandment in the entire Bible. Paul picks it up in Romans 7. And he says, this commandment, this Ten Commandment about jealousy, thou shalt not covet. He said, there was no law with Eve. There was no law with Lucifer. The only thing there was, you are blessed to be a blessing. You take and receive that you shall give. That's the law of life for the universe. There was no law for Eve. Thou shalt not commit adultery. What are you talking about? Thou shalt not steal. But the 10th commandment, something was going on in the heart of Eve. When a doubt was played about the character of God, and he appealed to her emotions and her quest for power and freedom, it all came up through her senses and went through her brain, and now it hit the snag in there. God cannot be trusted. How did she come to that conclusion? Well, the serpent ate the fruit and didn't die. God, maybe what the serpent said is true. God doesn't want you to do that. Lest you eat it and become like him. Does that sound like the original fall? I will ascend to the throne of the Almighty. I will make myself like the Almighty. That seems like a nice aspiration. Until you understand that he was putting himself on the throne. Do you know what the 10th commandment is? Thou shalt not be jealous. Thou shalt not covet. It shows a light into the heart and mind of God. God is not there saying, you shall not do this, you shall not do that. And if you don't do them, you'll be in heaven. But the spiritual person has found an amazing thing. That when Jesus entered this heart, the old man didn't die. All of those longings, all of those beliefs that he had established through his life were not wiped away. The old man is still alive, like Paul says. He's still alive and he's still clamoring for attention. He's still clamoring for all of this. He said, "That I couldn't understand that. That was going on inside my life and I didn't know what to do with it." Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Not only do I reveal the character of the Father, not only do I lighten the pathway, but when I understand the 10th commandment as it was meant, the Father says, if you ever get to know me the way it's your privilege to know me, then those 10 commandments become promises of what he will do for me. And as I'm going through my life and that old man is still trying to find a way to express itself, Paul calls it this way, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Now, he doesn't say the answer yet. He says, this commandment took an occasion in me and showed me I'm a sinner. Showed me the old man isn't dead. And whenever it starts to show its ugly head and begin wanting to express itself, the light from the throne of God comes into my heart because I invite him in there. And he shows that spotlight on that thing that creates the greatest hell for me. that separates me from my Father, that puts me in a box. And Jesus comes and he doesn't say, hey, you're coveting. Jesus comes by and he looks and he says, what are you doing in that box? What are you doing there? Well, Father, my fear. Oh, I see. Father, I have no integrity. I have no self-esteem. Father, I say all these things. He says, oh, well, would you like to be set free? Oh, I would love it more than anything. The last commandment opens up the heart and the mind of man, allows that light to come in, reveals to me those things that creates all of this agony. Sometimes I'm on my bed at night, my head is on that pillow and my eyes are weeping because of what some of those emotions that have gone awry have caused. The Father sees that. The Father sees your agony at night. Your Father feels your fear. And that light of the glory of God shines into the heart of man, revealing what is there. And he says, what do you want to do with it? It runs through my belief system. And my belief system has come to the conclusion, I'm valuable. I'm priceless. I'm the Son of God. My Father loves me. And so up comes this emotion running through Rob Shepherd's belief system. And my belief system says, Father, I have a choice. I could stay in my box and it becomes my prison. And eventually it becomes my coffin. Or you will set me free. The Son of Man has come to set you free. And it's for freedom that He sets you free. You want to remain in your box? Whenever you express fear, whenever you express doubt, whenever you express something that I can't do that because I'm limited, because of whenever you do that, you're in your box. And the light from the throne of God comes through that filter of that Ten Commandment, the Tenth Commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not be jealous. And floods the light of Rob Shepherd's mind. And Rob falls at his feet and says, oh, Father, please, give me that victory through Jesus Christ. I will set you free. Father in heaven, You are so beautiful. You overwhelm me. You love me so much that this earth is not even considered to be a speck in the perspective of the universe. And yet You come here humbly, never forcing Your way in, never forcing anything out, passing Your glory before us, that our belief system may be shaped. My Father can be trusted. I don't know what this world is going to be. I don't know what it's going to bring. But my Father can be trusted. And Father, please take those things in our heart that draws us away from You, that is there to hurt our brother, our sister. Oh, Father, please, take those from our heart, because I realize that is the way that I become the living gospel. I become an epistle. I become a love letter sent to this world. Look what God was willing to do. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.